Pastor Lane Stockton.
Good evening. Good to see all of you back this evening. I trust you had a good afternoon in the Lord. We will be in Job chapter number 29. Job chapter 29. Good to have visitors back with us tonight. Thank you for visiting with us. We hope you have a joyful time with us here in the service tonight. This will be our 29th week in the book of Job. We missed one or two if we had a missionary in or something like that. So we've actually been going probably about 35 weeks all the way through. But we've done a chapter a Sunday evening of the book of Job. And it has been an amazing walk for me going through the book of Job. And of course tonight Job's going to continue his parable. Now he's been speaking for three chapters here straight, and he's got two more chapters to go before we hear from someone else, and we'll enjoy the time and see what the Lord has to do for it. Actually, Job is going to speak several more chapters after that, but this parable he's speaking tonight. Now, tonight, he's going to survey his life. If you start here in verse number 1, and Job is going to give a survey of his life through chapter 29 and 30, and he's going to start way back when. And so as we get into chapter number 29, we'll read the whole chapter, and then we'll just talk about it a little bit. Chapter number 29 and verse number 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." Verse 6. "When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street." Verse 8. "The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue clave to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, when it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me." Verse 12. "Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame." Verse 16. "I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew laid all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand." Verse 21. "Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way, and sat chief, and dwelt as the king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners." Someone told me one time that it was okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't start answering yourself. I don't know if it's true whether it is okay or not, but you know, sometimes when I'm working on a problem or I've got a difficult task at hand, I sometimes talk out loud about it. I guess it's okay this day and age which we live in with technology. You walk down the road, or you're in a mall, or you're in a store, or you're in a car, and there's somebody sitting there just talking, seeming to themselves, and they turn their head and they got this thing sticking out their ear, and they're actually talking with somebody on the phone. So I guess it's okay nowadays. Maybe they think you're just Bluetoothing somebody. I'm not sure. But as I read this passage this week, something really hit me. Something that was probably more painful to Job than actually what he was going through. The memory of his old self. The memory of thinking back. And he began to talk out loud. Here's his friends talking with him. And as he begins to survey his life, of course, in verses 1 through 12, you kind of see that Job was a pretty good guy. Job was a man that was upright. He was always cared for others. When I read it, I don't see something in here in pride. I don't see a man lifted up in pride. I see a man thinking back of trying to weigh out in his mind, I've walked in integrity. What in the world has happened? I've done right and I can't figure out what's going on. And he just comes to lay out his life. You know, many times they say that when an accident's about to happen, people say their life flashes before their eyes, just like, phew. When I read this, it's almost like it's in slow motion. I think I'd rather have it flash. It's there, the whole thing's gone, but as Job began to talk it out, began to think about it, and began to see where he was and where he is now, and he noticed that he had an honored position. He realized that. He realized in verses 2 through 7, he talked about when God's blessings were clearly apparent on his life. Isn't it a wonderful thing that when you can look around you and look into your life and see the things happening, that you can see truly the Lord blessed. But remember, the God in the valley is the same God on the mountaintop. Remember, back in the beginning of Job, Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh." It is always easy to look about and see the blessings of God that are materialistic. But we got to get beyond this materialistic life which we live. We've got to get beyond the now and now life that we live. That there is more to life than the things that we can gather and things that we can covet, the things that we can get. That we are living for eternity. I don't believe for one moment Job is forgetting about eternity. I just think he's simply pondering and thinking out this problem. And he's coming to realize where he's at in his life and what God is doing. And he understood that he was a blessed man. The Bible said there that he was an enjoyment of his youth to his family. Well, it's a blessing to have young people around you that bless you. It's a blessing to have young kids that bring joy to you. You know, the Bible says that they shall rise up and call their mother blessed. That's a wonderful thing. And Job was at that point in his life. He says, verse 2, "Oh, that I were as in months past." Can I tell you the best is yet to come?
Yeah.
I know sometimes we look back. Sometimes our Christian walk. You remember those days when you was on fire for God? I mean, you would have charged hell with a squirt gun. You would have took up on Satan with your bare hands. You were just so full of zeal. Everything that was going on, you were involved in. If the church doors cracked, you were there. And listen, you were just excited about the things of God. Then what? Life began to wear on you. Then we have things that come into our life that overwhelm us. As Job is, physically he's overwhelmed, but mentally, spiritually, we get overwhelmed. And we get into what is called a, what, a virtual. I don't know where my mind goes sometimes. I'm glad it's not up on the screen for y'all to see. Because I just called myself all kind of morons and idiots. I can't even be able to say what I want to say. But we get in a rut. I mean, we just dig and dig down. We got this old Kubota over here in the print shop. And I've been searching high and low for a bush hog. If you find one used, they've done beat the thing to death. It ain't worth it. I mean, you're just going to kill yourself fooling with it. It has a belly mower on it. And what that is, it's a mower, just like a regular mower, that sits in between the wheel axles, the front and the back. Well, if you get down in the creek bottom back there and you start mowing with that, it gets wet. And that bottom is so low to the ground and it doesn't come up high enough that it will actually create a vacuum with the mud. As soon as you get there, it just sucks up and it will not let you go nowhere. You just spin. You sit there spinning, sit there spinning, sit there spinning. Until you have to get a come on, you have to get a change, you have to pull yourself out. And it's just frustrating that you're trying to do something that is needful, like cutting the grass, and you can't get the job done because you're just spinning your wheels. Sometimes in our Christian life, is that all? You know, there's times in our life that we as Baptists, fundamental Baptists, we look upon other denominations and their traditions that they hold and we say, man, why in the world do they keep doing this or keep doing that? Here's an example. I had a good friend named Yanni over in Greece. He was a veterinarian. And his shop was right across from our house. And boy, he loved just spending time talking. And he would talk with me and talk with me. He always was interested in politics and government and in anything except one thing. Talking about God. Soon as the conversation was swerved all that, he'd all of a sudden get busy. Hadn't had a dog or a cat or a mice come into the shop all morning. And soon as a God's brought up, oh, I got to make a house call. And he'd close off the conversation. And he would, I'd see Yanni sometimes, and Yanni was not a very religious person. He was not. He was not deep into the Greek Orthodox stuff. I guess he'd be one that was more secular. He was one that would be just more into the things that he could get now, the things he could earn, the materialistic side. He was just interested in the secular part of life, and religion never did interest him much, but I noticed something about him. He would always take the bus or the tram or the trolley home when he'd be leaving. And down from us, where our church was, he would pass by it, and right around the corner was a big, huge Greek Orthodox church. And I remember seeing sometimes Yanni come by, and as soon as he would come past the road, that Greek Orthodox church was six blocks down the way. If he turned and looked, he'd do the sign of the cross. Just a habit. I saw Yanni one day go past, because the bus stop was down at the corner. He went past and I saw him back up because he had forgot to do the sign of the cross. And he did the sign of the cross and went on. Despised the religion. But it was a tradition that he grew up doing. Sometimes I believe, honestly, that we as Baptists, sometimes we come to church only out of tradition. It's just a tradition. We don't come to spend time with God. We don't come to take the yoke of God upon us and learn upon Him. Sometimes I do believe in our life we get in a rut and we just simply come. It's what we got to do. Good Baptists, we go to church. I'm for it. If there's a pastor out there that tells you he don't want you to come to church, y'all need to get lock him up, put him away. Because he just wants to go play golf and not do his job. Feed the flock. Sometimes it's just a tradition, isn't it? Sometimes are we not like Job in our own spiritual walk? I sure wished it was like it was long. We enjoyed church, we enjoyed singing, we enjoyed Bible study, we enjoyed the things of God, we was excited. Didn't matter how tired we were, how far we had come, it didn't matter how much work had gone on that week. We were just excited that we were going to church. But there's now in our life, I wished it was. Dear friend, it can still be. But the best yet to come. You are where you are for a reason. Why don't you start blooming where God has put you? He's planted you. He'll fertilize you. He'll prune around you. Remember the story in the New Testament where they came and said, this old tree, it ain't doing nothing. Can we just cut it down? And the man said, just give me 1 year that I might work around it, prune it. Just 1 year. You are where you are in your life, and God knows exactly where you are. And if you're backslidden, God knows you're there because He's left the 99 and He's been following you, trying to bring you back. And if you'll just stop running from Him, He'll put you on His shoulders and He will carry you back to the fold that you might find rest. He knows you're weary. He knows you're tired. He knows that you're heartache and you're broken. And He knows that you need Him to carry you for a moment. Oh, Job was a man that was honored. But he was thinking, man, if only. But wait a minute. 3 chapters ago, he said, when I am done being tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. Do you understand something? You're never going to get purged easily. Purging does not come easy. Does not. We are in a day and age where everybody's trying everything to get some kind of diet going. And they always want to purge you first. They got this here stuff you got to drink. That if it tastes like pine salt and paint thinner, castor oil, all mixed in with some cottage cheese. And you drink this stuff and it's going to purge you and cleanse you out. Inside out, clean. You won't have no prostate problems. You won't have no kind of colon problem. No, because it'll eat it all out. You'll be completely empty. And they just want to purge you. Well, that's how God works from the inside out. Because to be honest with you, in those bad times, in those rut times, we can still dress up pretty nice, can't we? This morning I knew I was preaching on hell, the devil, and the sermon was going to be pretty tough, so I put on my little flower. And maybe that'll ease things up a little bit. We can dress up. On the inside, we can be pretty worn down. Poor and sad and feeble. And Job began to remember. He said, verse 3, when his candle shined upon my head, and when his light, I walked through the darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. What a blessed day that was when we enjoyed the blessings of God. And Job understood that. And now he's going through a horrible situation. I mean, a difficult situation. Verse 5, when the Almighty was yet with me. Wait a minute. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In those bad days, those poor times, and those feeble times, those weak times, those sad times, He's with you. As much as He is in those joyful times. Why? Because it is the will of God that you be full of His joy. Job is thinking about his honored position and thinking about when men would give place to him. You all remember this old commercial. Some of you would remember this. When E.F. Hutton speaks, honored position. Now, if he was alive, he'd be in jail with Enron, wouldn't he? Because everybody would listen. Job was an honored man. The Bible says here in these verses read that when he would enter in, the young men, when they saw him, they would hide. I don't believe they'd run and hide because they thought old Job was a Scrooge. He's carrying a stick and he was going to hit him. I thought they understood that here was a man full of wisdom. Listen, I've been around some people, dear friend, and I'll tell you, you could feel and sense the power of God upon their life. And I didn't want to speak to let them know how carnal I was. This Job says that the young men would hide. Princes would refrain from talking. Nobles, in verse 10, held their peace. And their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. Job's remembering those days. He is remembering those days. Listen, those days in your life whenever those was coming around and you were just feeding them the wisdom of God, things that you had learned. You know, the Bible says that we're to comfort one another. Where we've been comforted. And they'd come around and boy, they was getting, they were just like parasites eating off of you. And you enjoyed it. Listen, those days can still be. You stand fast and you stand true into the Word of God. Look back in chapter 28, last verse. And unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You can have those days again, dear friend. You can get back to the cross of Calvary and find your strength. Briley and I went to a pastor's conference here last week, and one of the preachers that preached a message because the title of this here message was Don't Lose Your Moxie. I talked about this morning in our Sunday school class that word moxie. If you was not in the Sunday school class this morning, who knows what moxie is? It's an old word. They don't use it anymore. Yes, sir.
Courage,
that's one of the definitions. Stick. You step. Your pep.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, I like his dictionary. He's got them words like I got. We just make them up as we go. Your know-how. Your want-to. Your moxie. Hey, when things are good and things are going great and the bank account's full, the camels are all out in the pasture and the families gather around the table, it's easy to have moxie. But when you're sitting around with bulls head to toe and no family, friends telling you how wicked you are, wife telling you to curse God and die, listen, the moxie can go quick. Remember how it was, so that you know where you came from. But remember, the best is yet to come. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you this. No matter how good it was 10 years ago, you don't need to be back there. We've got a job to do. And the job is right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. You know why churches die? I'll tell you why churches die. Everything was much better last week. Everything was much better. The choir was better. Bus routes were better. The preaching was better. Sunday school classes were better. Everything was better. Everything used to be. That's like the coin round to it. When you're going to get to it? When do we get that done? I'll get around to it. Hey, the grass needs more. I'm going to get around to it. Hey, your bedroom needs to be clean. I'm going to get around to it. Hey, the house needs to be painted. I'm going to get around to it. And you never get around to it, do you? You know why churches die? They live in the past. We have a risen Savior that ever liveth. He's alive today. And we'll always be alive. Amen. And we press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. We don't push back We look back to know where we've been and the blessings of God upon our life. And we trudge and dredge and press through the difficult times because the best is yet to come. How do you know it's the best? Because I read the whole book of Job. You have opportunity, dear friend. I'm telling you where we're preaching every Sunday. Some of you could be preaching right along with me. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Bill, I told y'all to read ahead. Brother Bill texted me and gave me a whole chapter's worth of stuff that he would just kept sending. He said, "Preacher, you don't have to send it back. I'm just reading through it, and you don't even have to answer. You don't even have to acknowledge it. He just sent a whole. Listen, you have the same opportunity. The best is yet to come. Not only in Job, but in our life. Not only in the life of Job, but in our life, the life of our church. Man, our church has done some tremendous things throughout the years. But God's not done. God's going to do better and greater things down the road if we keep our eyes on Him. And Job proclaimed the men of all ages would stop, and the princes' nobles, they'd give ear. You know what the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians? That the faith of the church at Thessalonica was heard abroad. Heard abroad. You keep with God. You stay with God. You serve God. All this changing that's going on, it can't be of God. It can't be. Because our God changes not. The pattern's been set. How to run, how to operate, and how to have church has been set in the Word of God. People change, methods change, but God changes not. And we go forward in the book, we stay in the book, we stay in the Scripture. And you let the change come and let it go. But when you've done all you can to stand fast in the faith and contend and strive for the faith, the best is yet to come. What's yet to come, preacher? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're striving for. Listen, if you want total failure, dear friend, you try to please every man that you come across. You'll be bald-headed with a goatee. You can't please everybody. But whether absent or present, I may be accepted of Him. That's where, and that's who we've got to please. And Job's thinking, he's looking back and he's saying all this, and boy, he's looking at his life. He begins to think about how helpful he is really not by himself. He's done a lot of stuff. I mean, he helped the widow. Verse 16, I was a father to the poor. Boy, what a blessing. Well, the Bible talks about true religion in James. Speaks about all this. And listen, he says, I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out what the Bible said about the church of the Bereans, the disciples of Berean. They were more noble. Because why? They searched out the Scriptures. They searched it daily. You look and you search, you seek the face of God, you seek out the problem, you say, God, I need your help. I need you. He said, I break the jaws of the wicked. He stood against the wickedness. He said, unto me, men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. You know what, dear friend? The world around us is going to hell in a handbasket. They need somebody that they can come to that's not going to change. That has the same answer day in and day out, that's consistent and faithful. There's somebody that they will come, they'll stop and say, listen, I might not like what's going on. Listen, I might not agree with the preaching over there because it just is, it's not tickling in each of my ears. But they'll know where truth is to be found. Job said, listen, they gave heed to me. They listened to me. Verse 21, unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence. Counsel after my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. It says, if I laughed at them, they believed it not. Why? His testimony. Hey, Job made fun of you. They didn't believe it. Hey, let me tell you something. Faithfulness is something to be understood and to be held as a light into our life. Moreover, it is required that stewards be found faithful. You want to make a difference in people's lives, dear friend, you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to be faithful. You have to be consistent. Verse 25, I chose out of their way. I chose out of their way and set chief and dwelt as a king in my army as one that comforteth the mourners. Look at that very first word in chapter 30. But. Remember, he's surveying his life. He's looked at all the goodness, all the things he's done great, all the things he's done wonderful. But. The best. Yet to come. Let's stand to our feet.